This is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news and intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversations. 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of the management and staff of Guardian Radio.
Good morning and welcome back to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. You've tuned into Guardian Radio AM with C.A. Newry, and C.A. Newry has graciously extended this hour so we could continue to delve into the Global School Health Report. The stats, the young people are talking. The question is, are we listening? Are we listening? I also want to reference comments made by the Prime Minister in reference to the school. That article I'm going to read from is Prime Minister, teen suicide rates a national and moral crisis. And the I think it's the Prime Minister as well as Mr. Munro highlight that that it's the silence, right? It's the silence that is killing us. I just want to share a couple more words from the Prime Minister. Quote, we also have to change how we show up in the lives of our children. The Prime Minister added, quote, again, a tablet can't take the place of a conversation. An iPad can't substitute for quality time. And parents, you need to have real conversations with your children, right? Because the iPad is something of value, and here's what I mean. You, the parent, had to work plenty hours to be able to afford to buy that iPad. It is an expensive device, and it took, right, it took energy from you to do the work required to be able to purchase it. And it's important for your kids to value that, right, that you work, you use your body to produce the revenue necessary to take care of them. But no matter how expensive that iPad is, it cannot substitute for quality time.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. So I want to say to the Prime Minister, thank you. He continues, and the pressure our children face from the constant pull of social media, the comparisons, the online cruelty, the need to be liked, followed, validated, it's harming them. Pause. No. It's not the need to be liked, validated, and followed that's harming them. It's that they don't feel liked, followed, or validated in their own homes. Mm-hmm. Right? That need is natural. That's not the problem. See, like we like to say, oh, the kid's too tingsy. Tingsy is natural. People need things to survive. Children understanding, even if they can't articulate it, that they have needs and they know that they're not being met, does not make them tingsy. Mm-hmm. You know, and in the same way, it's not the wanting to be liked, followed, and validated. The point is, your parents are supposed to be your biggest cheerleader. Mm-hmm. So when you turn in your family into an influencer family, you're supposed to be making content with your kids to glorify the, and I use that word cautiously, right? But to celebrate the talent of your kids, mm-hmm, and the cohesion of the family.
One of the things that I think is significantly lacking is that ignorance used to be bliss. And like these kids are exposed to so much different people's lives and what so much different people have that put a lot of pressure, not just on the kids, but the families, the parents and stuff as well. Because growing up, you knew your neighbors, people from your community, people from church. So like that was as big as your world was.
Yeah.
But now you have access to all these people all around the world who are doing all these things, and that's what's adding to the pressure, because you would even mention that the suicide rates are increasing. There's so much stress because it's so much information that we are constantly consuming. Some of it could be positive and some of it for sure is negative, but it's so much information that these kids are taking on and dealing with, and they don't have outlets. Because we don't do things anymore. You used to take your kids. Saturdays used to be family day. Sundays used to be family day. And now parents still do work. Children probably still working on Saturday and Sunday because they have to make sure that they're making some money for themselves and also to help take care of their family. Because if I want to put minutes on my phone or take my girlfriend out or something, I have to work for that. If I want lunch, I have to work for that. There's no lunch money coming in every week from my parents. And so I have to make sure I'm an adult.
And let's talk about those two things right there. That a child understands that they have to work to be able to eat when they go to school. Let me tell you something. I have experienced a privilege where I never, ever, the only problem I had was I was too lazy to make lunch to take to school. That, right? Like, I've never experienced that. And are the policymakers and the stakeholders being honest with themselves, right? And acknowledging that my experience is not necessarily the experience of others, right? And it's important for advocates because there's a degree of privilege to be able to be an advocate, right? And so you then have to practice empathy and put yourself in other people's shoes constantly. Okay, good morning, Ms. Green. Something else not considered self-administered means the teens must read and understand for themselves. Our country's average is D+. Worse socioeconomic status usually means less literacy and greater risk of deviant behaviors. If they are children who can read, the issues in this report are likely very underestimated. So if the students surveyed were the ones who could fill the survey with ease by themselves, right, we are underestimating.
The numbers may actually be higher.
Texter, when you said we have a D, the country average is D, right? I felt the Minister of Education getting mad at me. And I just want to remind the Minister of Education that we had a law that was passed in 2019 that said that to turn left on red, you must come to a complete stop at the red light. Treat it like a stop sign, right? And stop before you proceed, right? And the people who made the sign were unable to interpret the law. Right? Like, because I'm sure they read it, because y'all don't make signs without reading the law that you're making the sign for, right? But somebody was unable to interpret what they were reading and decided that stop is the same thing as give way. It is not. Let me just tell you, it is not the same thing. All right? Don't let a judge, let me tell you, don't let it have to be a judge telling you that. But another instance where we, this is highlighted. In many instances, low math scores are not about the student's ability to math. It's about their inability to English and to comprehend the question that's being asked, right? And so that's what the text is getting to, that if young people don't understand the instructions, how are they going to follow them?
I mean, we put a lot of responsibility on the kids, and granted, it is fair, especially as you become a teenager. But if I was two and you wouldn't read me no books, why reading books when I'm 15?
I mean, I feel that I understand that attitude, right? Like, I understand how kids get there, but then it's incumbent upon the rest of us to show them that at 15 you're reading books, because we need to be able to trust that when you see that stop sign, you can read it and you can comprehend what is meant by it, what is expected of you, but also that you could make a critical decision in the moment of what to do when you see that sign.
Well, parents don't have those critical thinking skills, and a lot of grandparents don't have those critical thinking skills, and so they can't pass down that level of wisdom and insight. So a lot of people are just living their day-to-day just doing.
And not just thinking. Repeating, correct. Right? Like, history is just repeating itself, right? And so I think what's most important in that is that we're not beating people up. Mm-hmm. We're acknowledging that people are in a place of crisis or in a place of trauma, and they are struggling navigating the world for themselves and for their dependents. Let's go to the phone line. Good morning, caller.
Yes, good morning, Ms. Green.
Good morning.
Good morning to your wonderful guest.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I don't know how fortunate I am. Maybe you and your young guest could tell me. You know, I'm 60 and I have a 2-year-old, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I have a 9-year-old. And so normally on Sundays, I'm listening to all of these vices, you know, the devices, the food, et cetera, all of the external, mild external forces, I'll call them, if you don't mind. And, you know, as young children, at my age, I'm able to see more panoramically the mild influence. You know, normally on Sundays, I try to spend like a 2-hour where I would come into the little posy shop. I'll make up a little, you know, I got foam. So we sit down and we read. And that was a habit. And so my daughter, I promised to do it Sunday. And she actually starting to move the newspaper out of the shop and starting to read them, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because I show her excited it is. So she's well enthused into it. So I watched her. So Sunday, I have stepdaughters here also, so they were so engrossed in their devices. She has an Apple iPod or whatever. And so she didn't remind me. I supposed to tell her, right? But I watch her. So these devices are really I don't know what's going on. But, you know, at my age, I'm frightened because we be allowing these, you know, if you be busy, right? Let's say a single parent. And I think the young lady in the studio alluded to this. The devices... It's more or less like our technology is running away with our children, but I don't think we should allow it fully. So I heard you guys talking about climbing the trees. She sounded like she grew up with a structured family and all these different things. But, you know, I was bragging to you the other day that I was in the tree picking the time at 60, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and so I just wanted to share that. But as it relates to these things are very important because I think she said that if you wait till they're 50, and so that's correct, you know, because I don't think that they would... The enthusiasm wouldn't, I really don't know. I don't think the enthusiasm would be there if you allow it, them to try. It's just like exercising. If you allow them to start exercising at a late age, people wouldn't become fond of it. That's the way I see it.
Listen, it's even better than that 52. Yeah. Let's look to our Asian brothers and sisters, right? This thing we call, this phenomenon we call the tiger mom, right? What science and experience and history and culture has shown us, right, that the children are malleable sponges, right? Mm-hmm. Some parents are teaching their children in the womb. They're reading cards, you know, the word letter cards, vocabulary cards.
I think they respond to that too, especially the father's voice. But
yeah,
my younger brother was fortunate in that I think, well, me, I heard something in the previous show that when you say plan the family, I mean, I don't know, plan when you have children. Aaron, you know, I have three. I never planned any of them, but what happened is through God, I allowed them to come forward, even at the age of 59 and 58, and I see these children coming forward. I was scared, but I had to let them come forward because my significant other believes in God, and so she doesn't believe in that abortion and all those things.
Mm-hmm. But see, still planned.
When I see little man, I'm grateful, right?
Yeah, but you still planned, right?
I'm telling you,
hold on, let me tell you why. Because you maintained a healthy, mature man. That's right? You maintained a man who could take care of his family.
But as it relates to planning, you know, sometimes the contraception, the birth, things happen.
Yeah.
So basically you didn't plan, you know what I mean? I was saying I was in the clear, getting ready to go travel to Africa, sit on a mountaintop somewhere in Jamaica, all of these different things. But I realize that these are sacrifices that they have to make. I'm not going to rob them of anything because I want to do this or do that. So I don't know where that comes in at my age, but even medical bills, everything, et cetera, et cetera. So I'm kind of like... reviewing, you know, finances and all of that and prioritizing them. And that's what has to happen.
Man, 52,
you know
look
I mean?
Here.
So I just letting people know. You know?
Let me stick a pin, man. Because
yeah.
I think when all of these articles, I'm impressed that the ministers and the policy makers like Sharia King, not Sharia King, but Moxie, Ms. Moxie from the policy unit, they're talking about recommendations. And you said something right now. I think that there would be a shift in culture if at a very early age we showed, like as a part of a class, we showed young people just exactly how much money it takes to raise a child, to give them the optimal experience.
Matter of fact, Aaron,
yeah.
You know, like right now at this age with medical bills and all the otherwise, I don't even think I have enough money to even put the two of them through private school at one time. It's just like I have some other things secure, but like some insurance already paid upon. But I'm not, that's for them. I don't know why they call it life insurance, because they told me if I cash it in, I wouldn't get the full amount as if I wait until they die. So it's really death insurance, but you wouldn't use the word death to sell something. But I wanted to say, Mr. Munro was very correct. Mm-hmm. So me now, you know, this area, I was a part of this area for migration, and there is disunity in the community, and it's because the demographic is just disunity.
Yeah.
And nobody's trying to make an attempt to fuse the communities and telling people to come out of the bush and let's live in as one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know what I mean? Give thanks.
Absolutely.
They're creating a parallel society when no one sees the potential danger. They're so smart, they don't see the dangers of a parallel society. We need everybody to live as one. Give thanks.
Absolutely. Thank you. And so maybe another item, a question for the module, right? The modular component, migration and parallel societies. Mm-hmm. Because it's not just the Haitian migrant, inner city Bahamian dynamic that we're looking at. We're also looking at these massive disparities in wealth and quality of life, like just on the island of New Providence. A massive, massive disparity in economic status and quality of life. And how do young people reconcile with that, right? And do our messages push through what they are thinking and the conclusions they're forming? Co-host, we can go to a break. When we come back from the break, text us. We're going to get to the text. And then we go into sexual behaviors. There's some really interesting information that we need to read out loud. We need to say these things out loud. You're on Guardian Radio AM with Sia and Yuri. We're going to a break. Stay tuned. We'll be right back. And call in. Share your experience with us, please. We will all be the better for it.
Show me Bala boy in his phone.
What you mean? He take picture of that good for nothing boy?
Shh, you don't want Bala hair. You say that. You know she always say that's my good child.
So what he doing in Junior phone?
Oh, he there because the police looking for him. He on that wanted list.
Wanted persons in your phone now?
Yes, child. And when police want to find anybody quick, after something happened, they can send picture direct to your phone. Go to Google Play or App Store and search for Crack Crime Bahamas, then pick install and it will go straight to your phone.
There is also a section on missing persons.
Yes, girl, everybody needs to get this app so police can tell us right away when these people go missing. Just like an alert system.
Yes, it has numbers for Crime Stoppers Bahamas so you can call and nobody knows it's you. Call directly to Miami and give the information without giving your name or anything about you. I tried the other day, and when I hear Junior and his boys talking about where they hide those guns, I walk quick around the corner and call that number.
Call 328-8477 from Nassau or 242-300-8477 from the Family Islands.
Just sign in and have a seat, please. They'll call you in for your x-ray shortly.
That's why they call it a waiting room. You won't have that problem at Fourth Terrace Diagnostic Center or Imaging at Grosvenor. We never schedule multiple appointments, so you'll be in and out in no time. And if your initial screening reveals a concern, our radiologist can conduct an alternative screening right then and there. Call 328-8157 to schedule an appointment at 4th Terrace Diagnostic Center or Imaging at Grosvenor today.
It's back to school season again. Send your kids off with everything they need, from books, uniforms, to school supplies, all with a Fidelity personal loan. Apply today for a chance to win amazing back-to-school prizes. Call 356-7764.
Fidelity, we're good for you.
This is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news and intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversations. 96.9 FM.
Good morning and welcome back to Guardian Radio AM with C.A. Nuri. This is Aaron Green sitting in for C.A. and my guest co-host, Rodrika Colley from Bashra. We're going to read these texts and then we're going to get into focus area 3, sexual behaviors. Here is the first text. Nowadays, there is visibly less unity in the community. The text is saying it's palpable. Another text says, Aaron, I'd like to know why the Minister of Social Services hasn't responded to Tunil Tadar Burrows' concern about why the mothers who prostituted their daughters haven't been prosecuted. Also, your guest sounds very educated by the looks of the stream.
What's the rest of the sentence?
I'm not reading it out loud. Dear texter, you're supposed to say, don't read that. Anyway, it's a compliment. And the text is saying that you look as lovely as you sound. What they meant is your beauty is commensurate with your intelligence.
Sure.
Yeah, I texted, you owe me $5, man. And thank you, Dave. Okay, thank you. Good morning, Miss Green. Here's another text. Something else not considered self-administered means the teens must read and understand for themselves. And they shared a link for a survey. I'm going to go into that survey on non-communicable diseases. And I'll share some information from that at a later time. Another text on crime. Our government in the past and now are spinning tires and making a lot of noise, but are not going nowhere. They need urgent help. Well, I think youth perspectives on crime, like bringing it into the Global Health report, I think youth perspectives on crime are important. Like, for instance, let's jump right into focus area 3, sexual behaviors. One of the quotes I read that was very concerning. The new report also found that 10% of teens said they had been forced to have sex, while 22% of teens reported being sexually exploited. Right? Sexually exploited, with boys more likely to be sexually exploited and girls more likely to be forced to have sex. Right? It's that exploited part. People see need and then they take advantage of it. People see need and predators see need and they prey upon people using the need as their entry, right? Their way into their lives. And so I think it's important for us to talk to young people. When we look at things like the economic disparity, the disparity in wealth and disparity in communities and how people live in the Bahamas, and how do people feel, how do young people in particular feel, right? Like, for them, the desire, the desperation to improve one's life, the quality of life, does it justify certain crimes? Right? Do young people living in these conditions see people in society benefiting from criminal behavior, from corrupt and crooked behavior? And do they then adopt an attitude, well, if it's good for the goose, but call me the gander?
Mm-hmm.
Right? But let's get into the sexual behaviors part of the report. That section starts with this brief intro. It is page 26. It starts on page 26 of the document. Sexual health behaviors on page 27. Adolescence is a critical period of sexual development. Again, adolescence is a critical period of sexual development where individuals explore independence, relationships, and emotions. Early sexual debut, that's before age 14, is linked to unsafe sexual practices, increasing risks of STIs, unwanted pregnancies, substance use, and psychological distress. Frequent bullying, victimization is the term, further raises the odds of early sexual initiation and risky behaviors. Unsafe sex practices increases the risk of contracting and transmitting a sexually transmitted infection, or an STI. Globally, an estimated 1 million sexually transmitted infections are acquired every day by young people, making this age group particularly vulnerable to sexual health risks. In addition, adolescent fertility rates, teen pregnancy remain high. In the Bahamas, the teen pregnancy rate has decreased since 2010 to 25.1% in 2022. The rate in 2022 was higher than the average rate, 11.2%, in its income group, but lower than the Latin American Caribbean average rate of 52.2%. So, a couple of things there to get started. Unsafe sex practices increase the risk of contracting and transmitting an early transmitting an STI. To the texter earlier, let us recognize in this moment that, yes, seniors as well, right? Like, this is a category where seniors, I think, are maybe the second highest category.
Yes.
And especially when we come to this Alzheimer's dementia period, that area right there, I just want you to know we see it. But we're talking about the young people right now, right? Ms. Cawley.
Well, the first thing is I am most certain that those numbers would be much higher if kids were being honest, if more kids were being honest. But in this country, we don't like talking about sex. And I always find it so baffling because we have sex. And so I could understand if we were uncomfortable talking about it because it's something so weird, so icky, so foreign to us, but we're doing it.
Mm-hmm.
And so I never got
like
connected with why we're not talking about the thing that we're doing,
yeah.
Right? And so we have parents who try to protect their kids from all of the ills of the world, but you can't protect kids from leaving them naive.
Mm-hmm.
And so we don't want to talk to kids about sex and what sex is like and whatever have you. So what happens is now predator comes in and they're giving you all kind of sweet information and you don't know nothing about these things. And so when they're telling you that things feel good and they're telling you that they're going to treat you to this phone, this food, these clothes, that sounds good.
You need a computer for school, though.
Right.
Let me help you
and
out.
And so now you lean into, because I want the stuff. Who don't like stuff? Like you say, you know, Bahamians, we love free things. And if I don't know that that's an inappropriate exchange, then I'm going to, one, exchange, or two, if I see my mommy do the same thing, then I think it's an appropriate exchange. So I see the men coming and giving my mommy or whatever
mm-hmm.
$400, $500, and then they spend a couple hours in the room, and then he leaves. So as far as I'm concerned, that's normal.
Listen, if I were, y'all keep saying, oh, you won't be a man. If I were a man and I was dating a woman with children, let me tell you how that would work. I would feed their children. Like me, when I can't feed you.
Mm-hmm.
You got children? I ain't worried about you no more, miss. If me and you in a relationship, I only
focus on his kids.
Yeah. What you think this is?
Mm.
Anyway, but I wear that. That's why I ain't a man, right?
Yeah.
And what you were talking about just now, that's the predator. That's a culture of predation.
Mm-hmm.
There's another layer in there, right? And that's, I think, frequent bullying victimization. Now, I'm not quite sure what that means, right?
Mm-hmm.
But it made me think about this little cultural thing we sort of kiki about, called begging.
Yes. Coercion.
It's coercion.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Where somebody is teaching these young men that this is where persistence matters most.
Mm-hmm.
Not in the homework.
No.
Not in the physical activity. This is where persistence matters most.
If you want to be a real man.
Right. And somebody is not teaching them spatial awareness, critical thinking, and empathy. Right? And so these young men thinking that what they're doing is fine, it's acceptable, but essentially it's an extreme peer pressure.
Mm-hmm.
It borders on bully victimization, and when we talk about intent versus impact, the young man that is persistently going after this young lady, let's date, let's go out. Let's go on the beach. Let's do this. Let's do that, right?
Why are you playing hard to get?
Right. Your intent, like you as a young man, you say, look here, I got to find a wife. I like this one.
Mm-hmm.
Let me catch it young. I just read the Bible, go to church. But think for a moment. That young lady may have been a victim of incest. She may have been a victim of child sexual abuse,
mm-hmm.
right? She may be a victim of rape, R-A-P-E, rape, right? Your intent may be pure, but the impact of your actions are far away from your intent. And it's incumbent upon you, the suitor,
mm-hmm.
the gentleman caller to figure it out, right? That, look, okay, I just trying to date her. I'm actually infatuated with her, but her response should suggest to me that there's something deeper going on here and I need to back off, especially if I actually like her, you know? But we, what's the word? We've turned it into this begging, because we've got begging culture. We've turned it into something that it should not be. It should not be acceptable. And the same thing happens to men as well, you know? Same thing happens to men.
And that's where the bullying component comes in, because now if a female is trying to pursue the man and he is not reciprocating, it's, oh, what you don't like girls say.
You gay.
You have to be gay if you don't want to talk to me. And it's like men don't have choices. Men don't have the ability to say no. And then with the women, we don't respect their no.
Right. Producer, let's prep this caller. I was watching one of those Pop the Balloon snippets. And the young man, he has the right to tell her I'm not interested. He has the right to pop the balloon. But she was insistent she needed not just a reason, but a valid reason why he would reject her. And he looked at her and he said, okay, look here. He said, you look like my auntie. He said, you look like my auntie. I can't be dating you, miss. Come on. And then he let her know, why are you putting so much pressure on me? I have the right to reject you.
Right.
Let's go to the phone line. Good morning, caller.
Yeah, morning, Ms. Green. Good morning, your guests. Hope you're doing good this morning.
Yes, sir.
I kind of just tuned in, Ms. Green, just now. But, Ms. Green, you know, I mean, like, I hear you mention sometimes how we live in this hypersexual society, right? And, I mean, like, when what you were talking about just now, I can remember when I was younger, like in my teens. I mean, I guess it's been a couple good years ago. But I can remember the situation with this young lady. And I was kind of what you call begging. But I wasn't begging serious, you know what I mean? And I stop. I say, well, very cool. And she's like, you give up so easy. I like persistence. I mean, like, that's like, well, I confused. I mean, you understand? I mean, like, that's been a, I'm just trying to show you how long that mentality has been around in terms of even the females, like, kind of like expecting that, you know, that kind of way. But what I was thinking about the other day, too, Ms. Green, is that, sex education is important. But not only, like sex education in terms of, like, actually the act of sex. You know what I mean? But how to view it itself. You understand? Females should be taught to view sex from a perspective where they try to hold their virtue, right? So where a man begging will be a turnoff, because, you know what I mean, you know that sex is supposed to be for marriage, or that a man, you know what I mean? You know what I mean? Like, you know what I mean? You lessering yourself every time you have sex with a man. So if a man just begging you, he doesn't have your good intention in mind. So once that begging starts, that they'll automatically shut him off. You know what I mean? Because she could beg you, like, I'll come home if she sees that as being disgusting. You understand my point? And then the men themselves need to be educated, too, on how to view the sexual thing, too, in terms of how to see the female. We just need to try and, like, get our society at a point where we kind of, like, because, I mean, that sexual immorality is ruined society, in the screen. You understand where I'm coming from? And, I mean, and a woman needs to, like, nowadays, it's like a woman see. If a mom will have sex, like she thinks that's a big deal. She thinks she look good or whatever. Man, you know, a lady needs to understand that a man having sex with you or wanting to have sex with you ain't no real credit to, you know, to you as a woman. I mean, any mom who does have sex with you is the man who wants to marry you, is the man who wants to take care of you. You know, as a matter of fact, we need to start to see sex as something reserved for marriage. We need to start to see sex as a marriage. And if we could change the way we get the youth to view sex, then we could have something. But as long as we have these music, especially in particular the females, you know what I mean? Because the female's gone. They talk about a very, very young age. I mean, the attitude and the mentality that they have is crazy. You know what I mean? But as long as we have that music, and as long as they sing that music every day, you know what I mean, that disgusting, dirty music, then ain't no chance for that. So we got to remove the dirt. That dirty, stinking music they listen to from them female rappers, right? Remove that and try to put in some positive music,
listen,
some positive reinforcements on top of that.
All the dirty, stinking music. But,
yes, ma'am.
But hold on.
But re-educate them and try to get the females and the males to view sex from a different perspective. But particularly the female, because as long as she doesn't consent, I mean under normal circumstances, because she can be forced, but as long as she doesn't consent.
Keepers of culture.
Nothing happening. You know, that kind of thing. Thank you very much.
But before you go.
I listen to Ms. Green.
You remember the song by Clarence Carter, producer, that's the boy. I've been stroking, that's his name.
Yeah, I remember
Clarence
that.
Carter. Or
is, that used to be a hit. That used to be a hit, Miss Green.
That's rude. I remember that song. That's so I remember, and I knew it was rude, and it tickled us to listen to it, you know. But we knew we weren't supposed to be listening to it, and we knew we weren't supposed to be singing those lyrics in front of adults.
And it's played all over the place.
It was.
I mean, that song played at all type of events, man. Weddings. Any parties. I wouldn't be surprised if it even played at certain church events, or not.
But listen, anyway, thank you very much. I just wanted, like you reminded us at the beginning of your contribution, that some of these behaviors been around for a long time, right? And
I know that's right.
I remember this.
When he said that, it came to mind, people like Ronnie Butler. You're talking about these new age music.
But no, the old music.
The old music.
And some of the Gombe music I play from the 40s and the 50s.
What I like about the older music is that there was nuance.
The double entendre.
Yes.
It was hidden.
Yes.
And with today's music,
it's implicit.
What would Minna say? Y'all ain't got no mother's wit. Y'all ain't got no mother's wit. Y'all don't know how to say it, how to do it. And that is very important, right? Because our focus should be creating safe spaces for young people. We could be adults, but we can also protect our children at the same time. You guys, we go into a break. When we get back from the break, we're going to look at some more of these stats on sexual behaviors emanating from our young people. You're listening to Guardian Radio AM with C.A. Newry. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Love the show? Want to give your support? Become a sponsor today. Call 302-2300 for our rates and packages. That's 302-2300. Become a sponsor on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Loss of family members is very isolating, and people who have experienced loss appreciate when others have shared their grief. If you can't be there in person, go to the Nassau Guardians website online at the NAGOM and visit our obituary link. The Nassau Guardians interactive obituary link allows you to read the funeral announcement, express condolences, or place photos on the online guestbook for one full year. Losing a loved one is painful, but that pain isn't the worst thing to happen. Friends, loved ones, colleagues, and neighbors who ignore the loss compound the pain. Should the bereaved family wish to place the obituary and photos on our obituary site, just contact the Guardian's Funeral Industry Partners or the Nassau Guardian. Remember, there isn't one magic right thing to say to someone experiencing loss that will make the loss less painful or easier to bear. The Nassau Guardian's obituary link, available online at thenassauguardian.com.
This is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news and intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversations. 96.9 FM.
Welcome back to Guardian Radio AM with C.A. Newry. We have breaking news. It turns out that Boatman is not just a boatman. In fact, all our music. That by Charlie Adamson. Oh, Charlie Adamson, he say he need three wife. Charlie Adamson, let me tell you why I love old woman. Right? The it's always been in the music, in the culture, but something has changed about the way that we presented the music in the culture. Miss Colley, you want to respond to the last caller, and I will continue on that thread.
Yes. So, well, one, he had mentioned this perception that we have about sex, right? Mm-hmm. And first, that, you know, females need to care for their virtue, etc. So what I wanted to comment on is, like, the roles have reversed. Tables have turned now in terms of men used to be, oh, it's in my nature to want more sex than females, and so, oh, man is the master lock, whatever it is we talking about with that analogy that don't ever make any sense. But now we have more females acknowledging their sexuality and leaning into their sexuality. Now, people say that you should reserve sex for marriage, and if you're a Christian, it makes sense, I get it. But for people that are not Christian, that biblical instruction does not necessarily apply to them. So what we do need to promote, though, is standards for both men and women, because that essentially is what's lacking.
Okay, so one of the things I thought the caller was saying was not necessarily like a moral judgment, but the idea that, ladies, if you say no,
right,
like you have the power to say no. Because I say the same thing to young men who talk about, oh, these ladies so fast, and then they can say yes, and then they could turn around and say no, and they could tell the police that you raped them. And you know what they tell those young men? I say, dear young man, did you know that you have the right to keep it in your pants?
Exactly.
Did you know you have the right to not have sex with anybody you don't want to have sex with?
Yes. But tying it back to the survey of what I have found, just in having conversations with young men, a lot of their first experiences were from older women that I say prey on them, because that's the language we use when we're talking
about
men. Yes,
that's what it is.
And older women that preyed on them and showed them the ropes and made them a man, and it was awarded from other men. It was a badge of honor to have a female come in and exploit you, especially if she's older than you, has more money and status to take care of you, etc. That was a badge of honor for them, and that kind of took away the standard of them feeling like they could say no.
And listen, hold on. And when that wasn't the initiation, when that wasn't the early initiation, in many cases, the early initiation was from pornography.
Yes.
On video, my generation, it was the VHS, the VCR, and the VHS tape, right? And magazines. But this generation now,
Facebook.
You could find it on Twitter.
Yeah, you could just change. Up.
Dear parents, let me show you all the vibe. You know, you could go into your settings on Twitter, and I think Tumblr used to be now, Tumblr was a better policed space, but go into those settings and make sure that your kids are not able to access pornography and pornographic content on apps like Twitter. See, because when you see Pornhub on the phone, you know exactly what's happening. But I imagine many people didn't realize that you could access a lot of pornography on the Twitter platform, on X.
Twitter,
what's it called? X now.
X and Facebook. Facebook, it just pops up like a video. But now what they do is they post a screenshot of the image and the link is in the comments.
Yeah.
And so it's easily accessible. They don't, I don't know, maybe mine don't have no age restrictions on if it would be a difference on age restrictions. But it's just in the comments on the post.
The way my ancestors work, these people can't even send that to my phone. I don't know. It's I don't see as much of it, but then I also know it's how my algorithm is working. I know you work in the sex health field, so sometimes the keywords, right, just pop things up. But that early initiation and then playing dollhouse.
Yeah.
Playing dollhouse, right? Now, see, because I want to say there's three levels, right? You have the predator, which is the older woman and sometimes older men. Because older men is slightly different, right? In terms of the intent of the exploitation and how it operates. But that predation, predatory behavior, then you have these things that occur because of a lack of supervision, right? When kids are left to their own devices. I like to make the distinction. Is it Lord of the Flies? Did you read Lord of the Flies in school?
No.
That's a book about a bunch of young boys that left on an island by themselves, and they just devolved into chaos. And then Predator, the movie with Arnold Schwarzenegger, right? Is this Predator predation or is this Lord of the Flies predation, right? Like, which one is it?
Well, sometimes they are supervised because sometimes it's the mother's boyfriend. Sometimes it's the aunt. Sometimes it's the cousin, the older cousin. Sometimes it's the god brother, god sister. And so sometimes they're trying to do their due diligence to make sure the children are protected and taken care of. And they are exploited from people that don't have the best intentions either. So in those situations, what do you even do besides leave them in front of their tablet by themselves?
Carla, we come in right now. And then you have those situations where people are exposed to things happening in the household.
Yes.
Incidentally, coincidentally, right? And because it's the perception, if it's happening just in my household, it must be okay, right?
Right.
Let's go to the phone line. Good morning, caller.
Aaron Grant.
Yes, sir.
I am wondering how many men in this country are circumcised. I don't know.
Make the link quickly. Make the link. Tell me why you are wondering that and how it relates to the conversation.
You're coming a little to me. Got it, yeah?
I say, okay, I was saying, why is...
Yeah, but you know, why you're wondering why.
Yeah, why are you wondering what is the link to the conversation we're having?
No, because earlier you were talking about sexual pleasure and sexual...
Early sexual initiation and adolescent sexual development. Okay.
Pardon me?
Go on.
I wonder because it was mandatory in some country that men be circumcised.
Mm-hmm.
And that used to help with disease and they wouldn't get them.
Right, okay, so
disease.
The act of circumcision is removing the foreskin from the penis.
Right. And
historically, because we have references to it in the Bible, historically this practice is conducted for health and hygiene reasons, right? What we have learned, though, with the advancement of science is that circumcision is akin to the same thing as female genital mutilation. Right?
Not only help with disease, what you call it, hygiene. It also helped with, help the men to stop disease, sexual disease in this area, if you read upon it in the past.
Right, because of the hygiene factors, right? Mm-hmm. But what we found is that circumcision destroys important parts of the penis, and that men who have been circumcised are actually experiencing significantly less pleasure than men that are not circumcised.
That's interesting.
Mm-hmm. I thought maybe you were making a link between the trauma experienced from circumcision and certain risky behaviors or early sexual initiation. So I was just interested to see where you were going with that. My interest ends there. I can be honest with you. I don't care about it. Man, we care about your health. That was just a small joke. We care about your health. Thank you, Pumpkin Eater. But it's another space where the advancements in science have opened up the conversation, right? Primarily men got circumcised. It's a healthy thing to do. It's recommended. And now we're learning that it's like female. It is male genital mutilation. You are just removing thousands and thousands of nerves from that organ. And I don't know if we've done sufficient studies to determine exactly what's happening with men who are circumcised and who are uncircumcised. Men, we care about you. That just ain't my place to talk about right now. However, they got some more texts here. For me, many young girls are too simple. They are hypersexualized, and if they lack a father figure, they tend to be fascinated when young men make a pass at them. They lack attention and can't handle attention, even if it is negative or over-sexualized. They also think that sex makes them important in their naivety, because that's what the messages are telling them.
Right, but that also ties back to what you were saying earlier. If that reassurance and that positivity isn't coming from the home, then of course I would be easily impressed when someone else does it. Yes, their intention is to exploit me, take advantage of me. But at the end of the day, we all want to feel loved.
Mm-hmm.
We all want to feel valued. That's a need that's in all of us. So if it's not coming from home for them to teach me that this is what normal love feels like, so now when you have this predator coming in, trying to give me these sweet lies and these sweet nothings, I'm not impressed by it. I see some videos on social media where girls are like, oh, would you want to buy me flowers once a month? My daddy is to give us flowers every week, so that I'm not impressed by that.
Mm-hmm.
And so the more we have parents being intentional about how they love their kids, how they take care of their kids, how they teach their kids, then the more standards both males and females would have, because then the boys would know that, hey, I could say no. Because you're going to respect me as a man. You're going to value me as a man. But then if we're not valuing the no's and the behaviors of our males in the homes, then, of course, when they go out there, they're going to engage the same thing. So everything that we see within the society is essentially just these microsystems of what's happening directly inside the home.
Absolutely. Here's another text. Let's go to the phone line quickly. Mm-hmm. Good morning, caller.
Good morning.
Morning.
How are you doing?
I'm good. I am good.
I was listening to you about circumcision, and you are absolutely correct. It's amazing how they have us so brainwashed and doing a whole lot of stuff that we're not supposed to be doing.
Mm-hmm.
That skin is there for a reason.
Yes.
Okay? That's all I want to say.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Absolutely. Absolutely. And I think in the same ways, we don't pay attention to young men's mental health, the connection between psychological health, mm-hmm. physical health, sexual health, right? Emotional health and wellness. Mm-hmm. You just supposed to be man. You're supposed to be able to figure it out.
Yep.
You're supposed to be able to stand at attention when you call to duty. Don't have no feelings. Don't, right?
And give the money. Have to give the money.
And give the money. That's it right there. The pressure on these young people. They're facing pressures, young people, many of them. They may be the primary earner.
Caregivers. Yeah.
In their household.
Yeah. Just a tie back onto earlier we were talking about kids that call their parents by their first names. There was a big divide between what the child's role was and what the parents' role was. But if I'm paying bills inside this house, if I'm making sure that the bills are paid, if I'm going to BPL and making sure that the money goes on the account, if I'm making sure that the children's schoolwork is done, I'm walking them to school, carrying them to school, I'm the parent.
Mm-hmm.
So why am I calling you mommy?
But
you're not acting like a mother. Now, granted, respect is respect, and that's what you should do. But in the mind of kids, because I talk to quite a bit of teenagers, it's like I'm operating as an adult. Yes, my age may be 15, 14, but I'm operating as an adult, so I feel grown. And I feel grown, so I feel like I can make these grown-up decisions.
Not only operating like an adult and filling some of the functions that parents should be doing, but I'm facing the same pressures
as
an adult, but I'm restricted to responding to those pressures as a child,
mm-hmm.
right? There's lots in there. And then we're talking about households and with cultures where from birth, your form of discipline was to show them, I pay the bills, so I make the rules.
Correct.
And now they pay in the bills.
Exactly.
So and they're not even asking you to make the rules. They're just saying, treat me with a degree of respect commensurate with my economic contribution to the household.
Correct.
Since y'all say money rules the world. Oh, boy.
Mm-hmm.
These are conversations. Count Bernardino said, 6 young girls all the time. And Muslim societies don't have women being so liberal. And that's why their societies are better. Okay, text. When women are allowed to run wild, the society suffer. Okay.
All right.
I don't know why I waited until 11:57 to read this one. Women cause the most social issues, even men losing their lives. The Bible warns man about women. Texter. Oh.
That's a lot to unpack.
You see how the producer played that music? Sometimes the producers save you from yourself. Anyway, Texter, I read it out loud. I don't have to agree with it, but I tell you what, it's a great place to start the conversation.
Right.
We ain't getting it there.
No. But also to note, it's important to do research to understand how cultures operate and if those cultures are actually successful in what they're doing. Because we can say the responsibility lies wherever mm-hmm. we want, but then we also have to make sure we are educating ourselves on the facts.
Absolutely. Caller, I'm going to look for that story where the kids were found eating out of the garbage can, because that's about the Global Health School report as well. I'm going to try and capture all of this information. Ms. Cawley, thank you for joining me this morning. Let me just run through some of the focus areas for the report. Academic performance, chronic disease risk, sexual behaviors, substance use, injury and violence, mental health and suicide, support structures, parental monitoring and involvement, right? Those were the 8 focus areas, and we have space to add more. We should join this conversation. It's about young people. It's the most important conversation we're going to have in the Commonwealth of the Bahamas. Another text just as we go. As a man, I am offended. I am as offended about women commenting on penis as you are about men on women's reproductive system. Dear texter, what you meant to say is you are as uncomfortable. That's what you meant to say, because What you mean women can't talk about men's sexual health? Are we not allowed to? Should we not care about it? Anyway, Texter, thank you for that exciting text as we end the show. Thank you, Mr. Newry. Stay tuned. There's the news and then...